get out more. Hosea, please. Sorry. Yes, please. If we had a couple of guys from the back and from the front, and we kind of meet in the middle, that might expedite. Now, to morning, Hosea, please, if you'll turn there with me. Hosea chapter 4. Now, I know this morning is going to be different. It's not going to be your basic Sunday morning Baptist church. How many of you here was for Sunday school? Okay. So, do you realize that the Bible, of course, is a prophetic book, but it's also a practical book? You know, how else could we survive? So God's given us prophetic truths way down the road that's coming, and then he's given us practical truths so we can live on that path as it gets here. Does that make sense? So this morning we're going to take a look at how God wires children. And I know what your adults are thinking, oh my word, is this going to be for kids? No, because really, here, adults are just kids in bigger bodies. Now, I want you to go with me to Hosea. Here's what the scripture says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Listen to it closely. Now, before we start reading, let me ask you a couple of questions. How many of you know of someone that has gotten a divorce? Okay. How many of you know of someone that's gone through the pain and the hurt of a runaway teenager from the family? How many of you know of some church that's had a painful split? See, this is reality stuff. Do you ever wonder why? Now, why do those things happen? Okay, here's a segment this morning that I want you to see. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Now, here's what the Bible says. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Oh, of all the things. Now here's what I'm saying to you. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, Psalms, please, go with me to Psalms. Book of Psalms, 139. Psalms 139. So, one time I was discipling one of my children, one of our daughters, and so I'm reading this area of Scripture to her, and we're talking about how God wires children in this, our little discipleship thing. So the Bible says here in Psalms 139, drop down to verse 13, the Bible says, for thou hast possessed my reins. In the Hebrew, the word reins would be today our term DNA. Thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written. That's toes and fingers and things. All my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when there was yet none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them after I'm born, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. So God spent more thoughts than there are sand, grains of sand, all along Pensacola, all along the whole planet. And that's equivalent to our DNA, the complication of our DNA. He spent more thoughts than there to get us here. And then all of a sudden we show up, and he doesn't forsake us. He actually steps in the boat when he pushes it away from shore in our lives. Does that make sense to you? So I'm reading that with her, and then we started covering how God wires children. I personally believe that at conception, God gives every person at least seven specific things. And how many of you heard of the story of the prodigal son there in Luke? You know, I never really liked that story. And here's why. So, because it's about types. Remember, so this man had two boys. One stayed home, and the other was rebellious and left home. And the rebellious kid came to his dad and said, "Divide unto me the inheritance that befalleth me." In other words, you don't get an inheritance until somebody dies. So what he was really saying, this is pitiful, "Old man, dad, I wished you were dead." Now the boy who stayed home was a type of the Jew. The boy who left, rebellious, a type of the Gentile. But here's the thing that bothered me. The dad was a type of God. The thing that bothered me was this. If I was a dad, matter of fact, I got our kids together and I'd say, "You know, now we're Christians and we're wanting to serve God, but if any of you choose to step away and forsake God, then don't expect any inheritance." Now, they were little, and obviously you can get this figured out coming from a preacher. That was kind of an idle threat, but they didn't know that. But I'm just saying to you, so here's the deal. I didn't like the fact that this prodigal dad gave away all of his inheritance to this rebellious kid. Now, catch this. He is a type of God. And that's exactly what God does for you and I. At conception, before we even know which way we're going to go, he gives us, I think, at least seven specific things. It's like a wiring on the inside. Now, and I'm not going through them, but the first thing is, you're either male or female. By the way, why is that so confusing today? I mean, we don't know what bathrooms to go to. We don't know what sport teams to play on. How many of you know we're in a stupid, goofy world today? Now, and our leaders aren't much better. But here's the thing. And I know this is spiritual warfare, but now listen to me for a second. The family structure is under attack. The marriage structure under attack. First institution, see? How is it that all these politicians all across the planet are coming together to form a one-world government when there's not enough brains in any of them to blow one of them up? Why is that? Because someone's behind it. The dark forces. Like puppets on a string, Satan and the demonic world is moving all these leaderships to the final day. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? And to you and I, we say, there's no common sense anymore. Well, that's what happens whenever you start getting away from God and moving into Satan's realm, and you may not even know you're there. Now, here's where I'm going with all this. So, I think at conception, God gives you seven specific things. It's like an early inheritance. So, one day we'll all have to stand before God and be judged on how well we managed that early inheritance. Does that make sense? Now, that has nothing to do with salvation. I'm just saying that's where we are. Now, with that in mind, so I'm discipling my little daughter, and we started talking here about this first thing I want to look at this morning, personalities. How many of you know your personality isn't exactly the personality of the one you married? Have you got that figured out yet? How many of you know, isn't it funny in the family? Now, we'll find out why, but in a family, as a mom, you're kind of getting along with all the kids except that one. Just like his dad. You know how that works, but so do you ever wonder why? See, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If we don't understand this wonderful inheritance that God's given us, then we will just keep doing more damage and more damage, more divorces, more church splits, more countries fighting against each other. So personalities, there are four basic personality types. Now on your sheet, you can take notes or whatever you want to, you'll see a CD player, kind of a little personalized CD player. How many of you remember 8 tracks? Really? Some of you old people. How many of you remember or ever heard of a cassette? Okay, well, I think we're in good company, honey. So CD, that's the modern update thing. But so on the CD player, you have four main buttons. So I'm going to use that as an illustration this morning. That's why we wanted the kids to be in here. To let you see that basically people are primarily one of these four personality types and usually with a secondary something else. Does that make sense? So you're primarily one of these four personality types with usually maybe a secondary one of those. And then we're going to take a look at why there's so much conflict and why there's so many issues in a family structure or even in a church situation. So I'm explaining this, that your personality has strengths and then they have weaknesses. So as I'm discipling one of my little daughters, Jenny, she said, "But Dad, you know the Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father above, in whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Don't you hate it when they quote scripture?" So it was kind of one of those, "Dad, why would God give you something bad or a weakness?" Good thought when you think about it. So here's the bottom line. The strengths of your personality tend to bond you to your fellow man. It's a strength. They need what you have. Actually, the truth is they'll pay you big bucks on the job for the early inheritance that God gave you that you're good at, and you put it out in the marketplace, you make money. That's pretty amazing. See? But your strengths bond you to your fellow man. Your weaknesses, now there's the snag. Your weaknesses in your personality tend to bond you to the Lord. Now, how many of you wives know what I'm talking about here? So, you'll take your husband and you'll kind of oscillate him. And you're looking for that special place where you can just kind of reach in and flip the switch and get rid of that weakness thing he's got going on. Can I have a lot of high-pitched amens in here? Okay. You hear what I'm saying? Now look, how many of you know that wives doesn't seem like they can really change their husbands? How many of you know that husbands doesn't seem like they can really change their wives? There's only one person that can change people. Who is that? God. So God leaves the weakness there, and the wife can spot it, the husband can spot it, but they don't have the magic formula to reach in and flip the switch. Yelling isn't the magic formula. "You always do that." "Oh, honey, thank you so much. Well, I'm going to change." Yeah, it doesn't work that way. Only God has the ability to reach in and flip the switch if you'll come to Him. So the strengths will bond you to your fellow man. You'll get married because of the strength. They'll hire you because of the strength. And then pretty soon the weakness starts showing up. And they'll fire you. They'll divorce you. Wouldn't it be better, think about this, if we could say, "God, I have some weaknesses. Would you please help me?" And level out a little bit instead of being one of these things. Does this make sense to you, what I'm saying? So now we're going to look at the four personality types, kind of like on a CD. So here's the first one. It's the play button. So on a CD, you push play button, what happens? Oh yeah, plays, talk, music, or talking, or stuff like that. Well, here are some strengths and weaknesses, and quite frankly, you'll see, really this morning, you'll be able to discover who your children are going to marry. Now, we won't be able to give you the name of the person, but you'll be able to know why they're attracted to this particular person. And you'll know who they're going to be marrying. You'll understand really why dads, husbands, men, why you over the years moved toward this particular job. It's because of that early wiring that God has planned. When he gave you that early inheritance, he knew and put you exactly in your mother's womb at a specific date and time in history. He wired you so you'd be very effective in that particular time. See? What's no accidents? So here's the first one. It's the play button, we call it. So they are very people-oriented. You can read here. They're warm, they're friendly, they're very personal, they're talkative, talk. They've got to have so many words a day. I think that's why some of them talk in their sleep. I mean, they just talk. So I walked into our church one morning, and there was kind of a crowd gathering. We had a little fountain thing in the lobby, and this lady was telling this big story. True story about what I kind of picked up on was on a vacation that they went on. And it must have been a flu someplace, because all the stuff had happened on the plane, and here she is, a play button, telling this big story, and everybody is just rolling on the floor, laughter, and this happened and that happened. But I noticed her husband standing off to the side like this, listening to his wife. Crowd was growing, and so when the plane kind of landed, he said, Charlotte, we didn't fly, we drove. And so, but to a play button, that's no big deal. Those are just details, facts, and facts don't really matter. So the play button, they like to exaggerate, they like to tell stories. They're great storytellers, you see what I'm saying? And they, like, 13,000. No, there were 11 people there. That's really all it was 11 people. See? And you can always tell where they are in the crowd. Loud. So you can see the characteristics here. They tend to be talkative, enthusiastic. Let's go to the mall. Well, what do we need at the mall? Well, we'll know when we get there. That's just kind of how they are. See? Now, they have some, they're compassionate, they're carefree. By the way, how they dress, it's not a big deal. Plaid here, stripes down there, it's no big deal. See, clothes is not, it's having fun in life and enjoying people. They enjoy people. Then you've, and by the way, they never meet a stranger. We're in Walmart the other day, and this little, this mom pushing her little girl in the cart, and as we got closer, she kind of saw my wife and I come. She looked at me, she said, "Hi." Well, obviously, she didn't know don't talk to the stranger rule, you know. And I didn't say anything because my mother taught me, you know, don't talk to strangers. And so she got closer and it was, "Hi," both hands. And we got closer. I said, "Well, hi, hon, how are you?" And we got past. She said, "Mom, is that my grandpa?" Now, see, for the play button, they just enjoy life. Friends, they got to have a lot of friends. I've got 83 friends. Now, I don't know all their names, but they're all my friends, see? Now, here's some of the weaknesses. They start tasks, but they don't really finish them. "Oh, I'll do it. I'll help you." Yeah, maybe not. They're easily sidetracked. They seem to be kind of undisciplined, starting a diet, but just never quite get there. Weak-willed, undependable, fearful, loud, and exaggerates. Now here, so far, how many of you know a play button in your life somewhere? Okay. Now that's what we're here for. Here's what I want to say to you. If you're wired like this, there are certain occupations that you're going to automatically gravitate toward. If you, you know how us guys are, first thing we do, out of school, looking for the money. So we find the big paying job. Then you get into that and you say, the money's good, but I just don't really like this. And then you know what we do? Then we switch. What do? We get another job. Okay, that fits a little bit better. And then in our 30s, we get another job. Okay, I'm kind of liking this. And then about 40 or something, then, I think I found my niche. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to find your niche when you're young? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And your niche is all about how you're wired. God wires you so you know you can head for. There's no reason to go to college and take a bunch of silly courses that don't line up with how God's wired you. So here's the kind of occupations and jobs they're good at. They make good salesmen, speakers, PR people. My personal secretary, when I pastored Anita, she had this particular wiring. And we had a Christian school, kindergarten through 12th grade, staff and everything. And so she sat right out there, a little sliding window between my office and hers, and greeted everybody and talked to everybody. People would come and they say, you know, this church must be the friendliest church in Kansas City. Now, they assumed that everybody was like her. So she just gave us a great reputation. Now, here's what, I made a mistake as a pastor. Here's what I did. She was really good with the computer, so I said, Anita, could I borrow you for a little bit? I want you to catch up on some sermon notes. So I took her out of the main office, had other secretaries that could cover that, and put her back here down the hall in a very nice office. And could you catch up? Well, yeah, Pastor, sure, I'll be glad to do that. So I checked on her at the end of the day. Anita, how you doing? Well, pretty good. I think I got quite a bit done. Okay, well, thank you so much. And so she shows up the next day, same little room, different spirit when she came to work. I said, are you feeling okay? Oh, yeah, no, I feel okay, Pastor. I checked on her at noon, pulled up a chair, and I said, okay, Anita, something's wrong. What's wrong? Now, you know what the problem was? Catch this now. I had mismanaged her wiring. You take a play button and you send them all the way down here into a little room, I don't care what it looks like, all by themselves, plunking away on a computer, you've killed them. By the way, disciplining children, if you've got a play button and you say, go to your room, young man. If he's a play button, he'll say, how long do I have to be in there by myself? Can I take the dog with me? Can I take my little brother in there with me? See, they do not like being alone. See what I mean? Now, that's real punishment. Now, one of these personalities, you say, go to your room, young man. They'll say, cool. How long can I stay there? Can I lock the door? You see what I'm saying? So it's not real punishment for one, and it might be for another. So here are the biblical goals if you're raising a play button. Luke chapter 14, verses 28 and 29. The Bible says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Now, if you're raising a little play button, or if you are a play button here this morning, here's the goal. Now listen to it. Finish what you start. Say that with me. Finish what you start. Play buttons kind of notoriously leave a row of unfinished projects. See? Okay, here's the next one. Now we're shooting right down through this. It's the rewind. Now on a CD player, if you push rewind, what happens? It goes backwards. Okay, now there's some strengths and some weaknesses with this personality. Here some of the strengths. They're very gifted. They're gifted in music, art, academics. When they're young, they keep journals. Appreciate the people. They're perfectionists. So in our church one time, Ruth, older lady, wearing bifocals, she always looked like she just came out of a glamour magazine dress. Hair was always just so-so, color coordinated. She came up to me, she said, Pastor, could I ask you a question? I said, sure, Ruth. She said, and then all of a sudden she stopped, and she said, excuse me just a second, reached up, straightened my tie. But hey, we're family, right? Church, family. Oh, I said, well, thanks, Ruth. And what was your question? And then all of a sudden she said, do you still have that little knife that you always carry around? the one with the scissors. I said, yes, ma'am. Could I borrow it for a second? I said, sure. So she opened it up, scissors, and she reached up here, clip, a little raveling on my suit. Did I say perfectionist? Yeah. See, they, and you can always tell them, they're always color coordinated, everything's just right in place. And so they're kind of perfectionistic about themselves and the people around them. Now, look at the characteristics. They tend to be good in music, art, academics. They analyze. You say to a rewind, wow, your hair really looks nice. They'll stop and they'll say, because they're analyzing. Now, what did he mean by that? Here's what they're thinking. He didn't say anything about my hair yesterday. Was there something wrong with my hair yesterday? Do you see what I'm saying? Replay. They go back. Replay. How many understand what I'm talking about here? And so they tend to be self-sacrificing and sensitive, easy to hurt their feelings. And somehow they keep score. They're really good at keeping score. And finally, if you figure out why, how you offended them, and you say, oh, I am so sorry, please forgive me that. Well, you know, this was the 14th time since February the 2nd that you've done that. I don't know how that works, but they can just keep real detailed accounts. How many understand what I'm talking about here? So now I'm not saying it's a good and bad thing. I'm just saying it's different, okay? What causes divorces? Because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why are we having trouble with our kids? Because we don't understand maybe how they're wired on some things. So here are some of the weaknesses. They tend to be self-centered. They wake up in the morning and it's all about, how do I feel? And how's this day going to be for me? They tend to be negative, moody, critical, rigid, like we're playing, Monopoly with some of the grandkids. And so they're playing around. And so the little rewind, they want to scoot it so everything, it's equal on all edges around the table and stuff. And if they don't get to pick the little token that they want, I don't know if there's any reason to play. And so, very rigid. And somebody, we're just having fun. The play buttons, they just kind of want to have fun, that's all. The six moves, okay, or six or seven or seven or eight, I don't know, something like that. But they rewind, they say, no, no. You've got to play it perfect by the rule. Well, I'm not going to play. And they get up and leave. They tend to be revengeful. They're going to get even. You just mark it down. And you never know when it's coming, by the way. And they tend to be ungrateful. Why? Well, they're perfectionists. By the way, they make the world beautiful. We go into some churches, and I don't think there's a rewind button in the whole place. Because you still got the long orange shag carpet. The color scheme is not there. So, but see what I mean? See, the rewind are so needed. They write the music. They write poems. They're artistically inclined. They make things beautiful for the rest of us. But they have some weaknesses. Sometimes they're not grateful. Now, here's kind of, look up here for a second. Remember the old scales you find in the supermarket? Go like this. Well, now look. So if you're high in ungratefulness, it means you're, if you're high in expectations, you tend to be low in gratefulness. So if you're expecting all the kids to get A's in the school, and one of them doesn't, you hear what I'm saying? So you're high in expectations, you tend to be low in gratefulness. Now catch this. Nobody likes an ungrateful person. So God will send something your way that'll mess up your perfect life so you can be a little more grateful. lower your expectations and be a little more grateful. Is this making sense to you, what I'm saying? Now, here's the occupations they tend to be good at. Good at artists, musicians, professors, decorators. They just got that beautiful flair. Here's the Bible verse Psalm 62:5. Listen closely to it. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. In marriage, you know what happens is in marriage? One person is conveying to the other person, I don't need you. Now, that's what happens when a divorce is moving in that direction. I don't need you. I can do better than that. Now, be careful with the rewind. You hold everybody to such a high standard, pretty soon your expectations are so high, you're not very grateful anymore. And people don't like to be around people that are ungrateful. See? Give those expectations over to the Lord. Let Him change your spouse instead of you trying to change your spouse. Now, here's the goal. Be patient with others' growth. Things are seldom perfect. How many of you have discovered that? Things are seldom perfect. So when we were in our big building program, I said, okay, man, got all of our men together. Now, there's three levels of work that we're going to do. We're going to do perfect, more perfect, and most perfect, which gives you a little leeway there. See what I'm saying? Now, look, flip your sheet over. Here's the next one. By the way, how many of you so far you found somebody in your family on these first two? Okay, it's okay. That's what we're here for. Here's the next one. It's the fast forward. Now, when you push fast forward, what happens? You don't even, not sure exactly what happens. It was so fast. So here are some of the strengths. They're very decisive. It's so funny. If you're living with a fast forward and you say, where would you like to go out to eat? Oh, he'll tell you exactly where he wants to eat. And don't try to suggest something else because it's the trough and he wants to go to the same place all the time. Are you hearing me here? So, fast forward. They're very active. They take charge. Strong-willed leader. Optimistic. Independent. You, in the nursery, if you've got a little fast forward, you take your little nursery kiddo, drop them over the half door, and these little fast forward kids, I mean, they're wired that way. Kids, on the way to church this morning, you know what I was thinking? Here's what we ought to do. And they start gathering all the kids in the nursery and trying to escape the door, and the nursery worker say, no, you can't do that. No, I'm supposed to be. The pastor said I'm supposed to be in charge here. And they're outside. See, now I catch this. They're kind of natural-born leaders. And by the way, you can lead for good or for what? Not so good, yeah. They tend to be proud, a little selfish. If you've got a youngster who's a fast-forward, they want their way. Mom! Could we such and such and so and so? No, honey, it's too close to dinner. Okay, that was the front door approach. Now the next is they're going around the back door. But Mom, it doesn't smell to me like that dinner's going to be ready on time. See? And then if that doesn't work, then they fall on the floor, throw a big temper tantrum coming through the window. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, they need to have their way and be in charge. They tend to be, they get angry. They're proud. Self-sufficient. You don't like me? I don't like you. I don't think they're born with tear ducts. You know, they don't cry easily. Domineering, inconsiderate. Now, here's the deal, Mom. If you're raising one of these fast forwards, you better get up about a half hour early. Plan their day, or they will plan your day, and you'll just be chasing them all day long instead of being in charge. They tend to make good leaders, builders, producers. You go down the road and you see a big complex going up, guess what? A whole lot of these fast-forward people there. Then here's the Bible goal. Jesus and John the Baptist has to kind of gang up on this kind of a person. Jesus said in Luke 22:42, not my will, but thine be done. That's why as Christian parents, if you're raising a little fast forward, early on, help them get to the point, and sometimes it's discipline, a spanking, get them to the point where they'll yield their will to the leader's will. See? If you don't, then it's going to be head-on collision all the way through. Then John the Baptist said, John 3:30, he, Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. Now here's the goal, learn to be a servant leader. That's who Jesus was. By the way, the Last Supper, you know what those men were arguing about? Who was more important? Who was going to be sitting at the right hand? And then, you know what Jesus did? What did he do? Servant leader, he bent down and he started washing everybody's feet. What a thing. So if you got a strong-willed, fast forward at your house, then work on them to be a servant leader. They're going to lead. They're just going to lead. But help them do it by example and not by force. Okay, man, we're plowing through this. Here's the last one. It's the stop button. The stop button, they're very easy going, one step at a time. The stop button is probably why some of you were late getting to church this morning. You're out front. Beep, 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 beep. Jonathan, get in the van. I can't find my shoes. They're your shoes, son. It's your room. Beep, beep, beep. Are you hearing? Now, who's honking the horn? Fast forward. Beep, 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 beep. So, they tend to be peacemakers. By the way, they're very good. They're efficient. You give them a task to do. Just don't put a real strict time limit on it. Now, son, I want you to do this, and I want you to do it in an hour. Oh. An hour? What's the rush? I mean, the trash man isn't coming until in the morning. See? They tend to be dependable. They'll get the job done. Practical. They have a kind of a dry sense of humor. They don't say much, but every now and then they'll say something, and they won't crack a smile, but it brings the house down. Then you've got some of the weaknesses. They're self-protective. Like the preacher will stand up and say, okay, now after church fellowship, I need four people to volunteer to help pick up stuff and clean up stuff. Now the stop button is just going to sit there. And then he's going to get a little irritated because he's looking around and nobody's raising their hand. And he's going to say, what is wrong with this church? Forgetting that he has a hand over here on this side and even one over here on this side. They tend to be, they never get in a hurry. Now, they're a little stingy. Actually, they do a good job of taking care of money. Like, you think about it. Remember Dollar Tree when it used to be a dollar? We were in Alaska and it said dollar store. I said, hey, they got a dollar store here. Went up there, $1.59, I think it was, or something. Inflation. So if you had four children wired like this, now you're primarily one with a secondary something else, see? So you could be a fast forward, but some play there. Fast forward, or maybe a little bit of the rewind. So if you had four children, each different personality, and you gave each one of them a dollar to go to Dollar Tree. Now, here, you think about it. Here's kind of what it would look like. First of all, the stop button, they're never getting in a hurry. They're easygoing. They're self-protective. And so everybody's getting out of the car. Well, so the little stop button, they walk in. Oh, and decisions are so hard to make. You know, which one of these toys would you like to buy? Oh, so many of them. You know what I'm saying? It's just hard to make a decision. Stop buttons are hard to make a decision. The fast forward say, hon, where do you want to go to eat? And she'll say, kind of freezes up. I don't know. Where do you want to go out to eat? See? Now, he already knows, so that's the way it works. And then the rewind, they go in, and what are they looking for? The rewind, the perfect toy. And they see one, and there's only one on the shelf. And they look, but the corner's bent. Do you have any more of these in the back? That's the only one. Are you with me? Now the fast forward, he's the first one to leap out of the car, runs in there. He's already figured out what he's going to get. What is it? It's a sword. It's always a sword. You know, it gives him a little leverage over his in his leadership. And the play button, what do they get? Well, I mean, oh, let me try that one of yours. Okay, they really just came to get in the car to have fun all the way there and all the way back. Now, stop with me for a second and let's kind of sum this whole thing up. Do you realize God has a special principle? It's a law of science. It's called magnets. If you took two magnets, if you took two North poles likes repel, but opposites what? Attract. Now, in marriage, here's what you'll know. If you're a fast forward, then you know who you're going to marry? Probably a stop. By the way, would one fast forward marry another fast forward? No. See, somebody would die on the honeymoon on that thing. That just will not work. So then you've got, now catch this is kind of how it works. The play button, friends all over the place, usually marry rewinds. By the way, rewinds, they usually have one good close friend at a time. And they usually start in kindergarten and they're pen pals, even though they go into another country all the way up. It's funny, another thing about rewind, the way they eat, and I don't know why this is, but many of them will do this if they're pretty strong rewinds. So Thanksgiving meal, so they eat all their mashed potatoes, turn the plate, eat all their green beans, turn the plate. Now, how does the play button eat? Oh, they just stir it all together. Look at this. See? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, we're not talking what's right or wrong, but we are saying this. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So if you don't realize that opposites attract and that it's not wrong what your wife, how she's wired, it's not wrong how you as a husband, you're wired, but my people are destroyed because we don't understand that opposites attract. It's kind of like this. The play button's fast forward is too fast. The stop button is too slow. So guess what? They get married for what purpose? A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. They can find the balance there someplace. A rewind, too self-centered. A play button exaggerates. They get married. Guess what? Somehow they can raise some kids in a little better balanced atmosphere. That's how God does it. Now, I went out and looked at the parking lot. Your parking lot's pretty full out there, brother. I don't know what you're going to do next. But each one of the, like when you came to church, here's how you park in the parking lot based on your personality. So if you're a rewind, you drive into church, perfectionist. They always have nice, clean cars. Take your shoes off before you get in. And they come to church and they look, ooh, there's a spot way out there. I'm going to park my nice, clean car there. Maybe nobody will open the door and ding my fender. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And now where does the play button park? Well, they come in the parking lot. Oh, there's some people parking over there. Let's park beside them. Why? Well, we can talk all the way into the building. See? And the rewind, the fast forward, they come in. Okay, get the kids out of the car. We're going to be late. See? And they usually back in. Why? Because as soon as church is over, okay, honey, get the kids, get the one in the nursery, and I get these over here, meet you in the car. Don't be late. See? The fighting is usually all over time with the fast forward and the stop. Are you picking up on this? Does he see how it is? And then the stop button, they drive to church, and they keep circling the church. They can't really decide where they want to park. See? Now, if we were to finish this up, here's what I want to say to you. I want to kind of conclude. You can see how the personalities do devotions and how they shake hands at church and stuff like that. But so here I want to conclude this. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you don't know how God has wired your children, how he's wired you, then I just guarantee you, you know where you're headed? Downhill, your family structure is going to be destroyed. The second thing I'd say to you, be more patient with the person that you married. They're not evil or bad. They're just wired differently. God's plan is to get a balance. Stop trying to get them to be like you. If they were like you, then one of you wouldn't be needed. Now, I'm just trying to convey a truth here. Be a little more tolerant and patient. Men, pastor calls a big work day. Well, now look, the fast forwards are going to get on your nerves. They're going to be bossy and stuff. But at the end of the day, guess what? The project will get done. Are you with me here? And if you would know you're a fast forward and you have a tendency to be a little too abrupt, too harsh, then go to the Lord and say, Lord, I think I'm going to really need your help on this. This is my fourth marriage, and I think I'm missing something. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. Then the third is, church, listen to me. Stop being so judgmental. We're just so judgmental on things. If it's not done the way I see it, the way I'm wired, it must be wrong. Well, that's not true. It's just absolutely not true. Stop being so judgmental. Give your spouse your children. By the way, you know that one little kid that you always bump heads with? You know why that is? They're wired just like you. You can get along with this one. Why? They're the opposite. And why can't you get along this one? Same mom, same dad. Because of the wiring. They're too much like you. Stop being so judgmental. Be tolerant. Be more patient. Accept the fact my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Understand how the people are wired in your family and work with them. You send a rewind to the room. Okay, go to your room, Miss Rewind. And they'll love it. They'll want to know if they could do that two or three times a day. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for the truths that you've shown us. And these are the practical truths. These truths are the truths that are like oil in the engine of our family. And there's no question, Lord, because of who we are as people, we have turned away from you. We're being destroyed because we don't understand the wiring that you've placed in the mother's womb and that we're raising. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, let me ask you a couple, three questions. First question is this. How many of you would say, you know, I think this morning I figured out how I'm wired. Me personally, I think I know how I'm wired. Let me see your hands, just up and down. That's all, just up and then down. Okay, good. Praise the Lord. You're here this morning and you say, I think I've discovered the wiring of my spouse. Let me see your hands, up and down. Good, good. And how many of you teenagers this morning would say, and young people, wow, I can see why I have conflict with one of my brothers or sisters, or with my mom and dad. Can I see your hands? Okay. All right. Now, if you feel like God's speaking to you this morning to be more patient with the wiring that God's placed in your family, in a moment, we're going to have an opportunity for you to go to the Lord, not someone in your family, and tell the Lord, Lord, I just need to be more patient. If you're here this morning and you'd say, I think I've just been too judgmental. I've been looking at everything through my eyes when maybe there's three other viewpoints. And you're here this morning, you'd say, Lord, someone, one of my relatives is having great problems because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And maybe the Lord's asking you to pray for that family member. Let's stand together, please. Now, Father, in this brief invitation, We ask you to do everything that you've purposed to do in our marriages and in our lives this morning. And help us this morning, Lord, be more patient, not so judgmental. And maybe there's someone in our family or in our family tree that you want us to pray for this morning. Now, if God's spoken to your heart, you just slip out from where you are, take a moment, and pray for that person that God's laid on your heart. Now, this is the invitation, so slip out from where you are. Maybe you're here this morning and say, thank you, Lord, for letting me see how I'm wired. I don't want to be destroyed for lack of knowledge. I want to work harder on my marriage.